Good morning. Welcome to our first ever live stream service from sunny Welton. It's just fantastic to be here. I'm Matt Coombs. I co-lead the church with another Matt. And it's been really great to be here this morning with a team of people actually in person and to spend some time praying. And as we were praying earlier, we are really getting that feeling of this being about God, not being about technical stuff, not being about what anyone looks like. And I was just reminded of how I'm blessed to be in a church full of people who love each other and love God. And that's what it's all about. So it's good to be here with you this morning. If you're new to Welton, maybe just taking a look, we would love you to get in touch with us. You might even like to come and pay us a visit. Soon we're going to be opening up our communities again, meeting at four different venues locally, and you'll be able to sign in and join in with that. All you need to do is visit the website, have a look, and there you'll find details of how to book in. Now, hopefully, there are some mums joining us this morning who have already been spoiled with breakfast in bed or chocolates or maybe flowers. There are always a whole bunch of emotions going on when it's Mother's Day. And we'd like to share a video with you this morning, which hopefully most people would be able to relate to. We're really grateful to have a good number of people in this church who are involved in fostering. And this video has been produced by Home for Good, which is an organisation working to mobilise the church in the UK to respond to the needs of vulnerable children.
Happy Mother's Day, Sarah. After waiting to have a child for so many years, you must be overjoyed to have Isaac. Today is about you and all those who are still waiting. Happy Mother's Day, midwives of Israel. You risked your own safety to ensure the survival of countless children. Today is about you and all those who care for children and call it work. Happy Mother's Day, daughter of Pharaoh. By welcoming Moses into your family, you showed so much love. Today is about you and all foster and adoptive parents. Happy Mother's Day, Naomi. You walked with Ruth as a friend and cared for a child as your own grandchild. Today is about you and all grandmothers and extended family who care for children. Happy Mother's Day, Hannah. You let go of Samuel, even though it hurt you. Today is about you and all those whose children are not living with them right now. Happy Mother's Day, Anna. Life didn't go as you had hoped, yet you found peace and worth in your service to God. Today is about you and all those experiencing heartache at how things have turned out. Happy Mother's Day, Lois and Eunice. Your faith changed Timothy's life. Today is about all those who are playing a part in raising the next generation. Mother's Day is about you, whatever your role might be.
Great. If you'd like to know more about Home for Good, who provided that animation, do get in touch. We would love to connect you with them. We are going to worship together this morning. I don't know what you think happens when we worship. I know for me, there's this thing that happens where it's not that God gets bigger, but my view of God gets bigger. And it's not that God becomes more powerful, but I experience the power of God. Something sinks from my head to my heart. It's not that God gets closer, it's that we realise that God is close. I want to encourage you this morning, we are going to go for it in worship, but expect God to encounter God wherever you're at right now. There's a guy, many of you will have heard of him, called John in the New Testament, and he had this experience where he encountered God and his view of God expanded, and that's our prayer for this morning. I want to read you a few verses from the book of Revelation, where John has this experience of the reality of God crashing in to his world. It says this in Revelation 1. He says, I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. I love that expression. I turned around to see the voice that is speaking to me. And it suggests that the voice was already speaking, but he turns around to hear that voice. He says, and when I turned around, I saw seven golden lampstands. And amongst the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in the furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever." Lord, I pray that as we worship you, that we would turn around and see the voice that is speaking to us. We pray that we would see you in your holiness, and that holiness would expand. We pray that we would see and hear your kindness, and our experience of that would grow. Father, we pray if we're not near to you this morning, that as we worship, we would realize God is near. Father, I pray for every one of us watching now, this morning, in real time, that we will encounter you as we worship. In Jesus' name, amen.
We've been looking at our front lines through our teaching series the last few weeks, thinking about God being with us in the places where we spend the most time and interact with people the most. I've really loved hearing some stories from various people, friends in church, about their front lines, stuff which we don't always talk about. So I've been really encouraged the last week or so. This week, the focus is going to be on the workplace. And before we get into the message, I thought it'd be really helpful just to say that whether you consider yourself to have a workplace or not, there are some brilliant principles to draw out of the message this morning. So please don't switch off because maybe you're retired or maybe you think you're not employed. Wherever you're at, there is something good to pull out of this message this morning. So please enjoy it. It's fantastic to have Paul Guttridge sharing with us this morning. Paul was part of this church when he was a teenager. And he's still got some family in the church now. Hi, Pete and Jill. Good to see you this morning. It's great that we've been able to keep touch with him, and he's always got something good to share. So let's think about front lines, whatever we do.
Father, help me do good today.
I want to shape this place to your design.
Help me see the value my work has to you.
May I model your kindness and patience,
so that you are recognised.
Yeah, good. May they know Jesus through my presence.
May they see your light as I share mine.
Give me your joy and self-control,
so that your warmth touches those I meet.
Help me to be generous.
Quick to put others first.
Sharing clearly your love and grace.
Give me words to speak about you.
And courage to stand for justice and truth.
Whatever the day brings.
In my humanity, weakness, breakthrough.
Let my life overflow with you.
Good morning, Welton Baptist. It is lovely to be with you this morning, and thanks to the team for inviting me to share a few thoughts as part of your series called Whatever We Do. And I'm going to talk about the world of work, and we're going to jump into Colossians 3, or well, you're going to read that, and I'm going to take you on a little journey to answer the question, how do we live the kind of lives that honours God in the workplace? Now, just before we do that, I want to share a little bit about who I am and what I do, so you've got some frame of reference if you've never met me before or heard me chat before. So I spend 70 to 80% of my time working in the world of diplomacy and negotiating. And that is mainly in the area of talking to people who are of maybe interest to the state, either in the UK or further afield, who hold very divergent ideological positions, whether that's at a community level or
bigger levels that operate in country. The other portion of my time, which is a smaller proportion, I spend in the corporate world. And I work with various institutions, helping them bring people together so they can read and assess behavior to know how to move sticky situations from A to B. And I ask myself the question, gosh, is what I'm doing really making a difference? And when I read something like the portion of scripture that we've been presented in Colossians 3, I sometimes scratch my head and think, how do I make God relevant in this situation? What can I say? What can I do? How can I do it? Because I am passionate in the belief that changed people change people. Why? Because I've been changed by people who have walked with God. And ultimately, we're changed in our relationship with God. So how does that earth, how does that flesh out? How does that cash out in the everydays of life? Well, in order to do that, I want to take you on a short journey. And we're going to have three stops along the way, unpacking just a few thoughts from different portions of the Bible, which hopefully help us understand, number one, first things, number two, last things, and number three, changed things. And in order for me to navigate the world that I operate in work, and I'm guessing it's the same with you, wherever you find yourself in, is actually, what's my starting point? Then secondarily, well, what's the end point? How do I know if I've got there? What does it look like at the end? And then what do I do in the middle? If I know where to start and I know where to end, or sometimes you might ask the question, actually, where do I want to get to? And this is where I start from. How do we fill in the middle bits? And at a very, very micro level, that's true. If you're researching something, if you're developing a project, where are you going to end up? And then you work back from there and build the pieces into place. And from a philosophical and a theological perspective, that is true when we're trying to navigate our life by this book, the scriptures that God has given to us. So we're going to go first things first, then last things, and then we're going to look at middle things. And the interesting thing is, as I'm recording this right now, I realise that I clearly have not dressed very posh for this recording. So please excuse me. I'm in my casual at-home work attire over lunchtime as I record this. So let's just take a few moments to catch our breath, and then let's jump into Genesis. So first things, if I'm going to navigate my life as a Christian in the workplace, I want to understand why I even want to be in work, why I even want to express this God kind of life in the whole of life. And Genesis 1 is true whether I believe in God or not. It's around first principles. And in Genesis 1:26, God says, "And I make human beings," or man, "in my image, male and female." And then he says later on, "And he gave them authority to," and then he lists all the things he gave them authority to do. So number one, God makes people in his image, first things. Then he gives them work to do. Now, what intrigues me is that when I disconnect from God, from the image of God, how I work actually changes, because I am better functioning as a human being in relationship to God rather than any other God, whether it's the God of money, the God of pleasing people, the God of comfort. Actually, I want to relate to Almighty God. So right at the beginning, I find that humanity is hardwired with the desire to create, the desire to do something with their hands, with their brains, with their bodies, to engage with something, to, as the Bible would say, have authority, dominion, create, plan, eat, etc., etc. In other words, to produce something. So we are, as human beings, first principles, hardwired to work, to produce. However, the first thing that comes right at the front of that is this essential element, which says actually that works out of relationship with the image of God. So my starting place in wanting to live a life in my workplace that is for the glory of God is this, that I first of all connect with God, because then it gives me reason and purpose and a framework in my activity and my attitude for how I'm gonna engage in work. So that's my first principles. Now, Last things, if we hop all the way over near towards the back end of the Bible, a bit before Revelation, and back up a few books to the left, we get to a guy called Peter. And he writes two epistles, and in the second epistle, in chapter 3, I believe it is, he talks about a new heaven and a new earth. Now, this might sound a bit abstract to start off with, but it makes loads of sense when we get our heads around it. Sometimes I'm asked the question, what's the point in caring for people, ultimately, or the environment, or working for a better, more peaceful world, if God is going to, as it says in 2 Peter chapter 3, he's going to burn it all away and it's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Why don't we just hang on, be the best we can be, and then God, he's going to burn it all up anyway, and we get to fly away. The word new heaven and new earth in the Greek New Testament can be translated as renewed earth and renewed heavens. Not a new heaven where God lives, by the way, but renewed heavens, the stratosphere, the heavens, the layers of heaven. That's another subject. However, the point is this. If I believe that God is going to renew the heavens and the earth, the terra firma that I live on, and burn away everything that doesn't look like the precious stones, wow, that's powerful in the scriptures, because the precious stuff speaks of that which is of God. Read Revelations for all that jazz if you're interested in it. It helps frame my thinking. Why does it help frame my thinking? Very clearly this. It's because actually, I'm working for something that God is going to renew. And actually, it appears to be implicit in that piece of scripture in 2 Peter that what God burns away is everything that doesn't look like his reign and his kingdom. So that leads me to this conclusion, that if I'm designed by God and in his image to do work, and I'm best found doing my work relating to the image of God, and the fact is that at the end of time, that God removes everything that doesn't look like his work and his kingdom and his activity and leaves with the precious stuff, then we engage with God when we engage with activity in the workplace, in our relationships with other people. We can engage in eternal activity. Therefore, what I do and how I do it actually has an eternal impact. Yes, in the lives of individuals in relation to our Creator, but also in what we actually see happen on this earth. So in other words, it doesn't get obliterated. My work has some sense of physical and spiritual eternal value. Wow. So last things, it means that what I'm doing now, actually today, what's today? Monday for me, by the way. What I do today and tomorrow and the next day, potentially, I believe this, has eternal value if it is of God. So that means that I'm not going to fly away and everything's going to get smashed to pieces. Actually, our work makes a difference. So if our starting place is we're created in the image of God to work, then let's work according to that image. Secondarily, the work that I do in accordance with that image has some sort of eternal value. Or Psalms puts it another way, the foundation of God's throne is built on two things. One of those things is justice, and it's eternal. And God's throne, his footstool, as it later on says in that passage in the Psalms, is actually the earth. So that means that as I engage justly in the world around me, in my work, in my relationships, in the structures and the decisions I make, it has eternal impact on the actual earth itself, the terra firma, and the people engaged and living on that earth for now and into eternity. Now, that might seem abstract, but the reality is that we ask those questions. What's the point? Well, the point is that actually living my life with integrity and justice and purity in the workplace and anywhere else actually concedes something that makes a difference to an individual life and a community of lives. So my next question in my 1, 2, 3 of answering this, hey, if I do everything to God question in Colossians 3 is, well, how do I live in between times? First principles, created in the image of God to work. So let's keep connected to the image so that we do work the right way. Number two, last things, that actually my work will, when God renews it, he will move away the hay, the straw, the chaff, the stubble, and leave the precious things. So I want my work and my life to look precious. And the third thing, how do I live in the middle? Well, Jesus runs a whole load of parables in Matthew 13. And one of the parables that I love is the wheat and the chaff, or the wheat and the weeds. It talks about the kingdom of God is like a farmer who sows a seed. The seed goes out. You can read it in the previous parables leading up to this. And he talks about when we sow the kingdom into situations. And two things grow simultaneously on the earth as we live out our faith. Number one is the good stuff, the wheat. We all love that. We all want to go for that. And the second thing is the chaff or the weeds. Now, the question is that we live in a complicated world of competing interests, vested interests, needs, wants, desires, perspectives, etc. So how do we work our way through that in our workplace? I was talking to a friend of mine the other day. We were talking about all sorts of geopolitical things. And in this geopolitical conversation, he said, Paul, it is so complicated. And I said, it's incredibly complicated. Some of the stuff I'm involved with in Northern Ireland at the moment, with all the bits and pieces going on there, there are so many different perspectives. And I wouldn't say I'm a genius, but I'm not daft. And I still can't work it out. It's so complicated. And I said to my friend, look, you can spend all your time trying to sort out the difference between the wheat and the tares, the wheat and the chaff, the wheat and the weeds. But actually, the best thing we can do, as complicated as the world of life and work is around us, is actually to have in mind that we're building something eternal. And all we can do and all we must do are the things that are of the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. And actually, whatever grows up around that, whatever complications there are around that, the Bible is clear that in between times, God says that both things are going to grow at the same time. The things that you can see, the unseen, what you understand, what you don't understand. You thought you did the right thing, but it seemed to come out the wrong way. You did your best and you didn't seem to get rewarded for it. Hey, welcome to the life of work. And God says, look, I will sort all that out at the end. And do you know what? That's such a relief. That means I don't have to be so clever that I have to work everything out. In fact, faith is not just trusting God with what I understand. Faith is also trusting God with my questions. And there's a bit in Hebrews that puts it beautifully. In Hebrews 2, he said, all authority has been given to the Son. All authority, everything. And he said, but yet we do not yet see everything in submission to him. And there's this whole notion that God has given everything through Jesus already. And we've got this life to live on the earth, which has eternal significance in the decisions we make, the way that we behave with other people, whether the wheat and the tares grow at different volumes and levels or not in our work, whether we're frustrated, we're not frustrated, but you understand or don't. And he said, but actually there's a process taking place. Not yet everything is in subjection or submission to him. In other words, it's not all sorted yet on the earth. You are living in between times. And you know what? That's a great comfort for me, because it means that I know and you know that as we live our lives according to God, then we will actually sometimes see great fruit and great reward and great impact on the world around us. And other times we won't. Let me end with a story. I accompany, or I walk with, or I make friends with people who are of interest to various agencies. And it's really hard work to build the trust. And I was been walking with this guy recently who has access to certain ideological groups in the UK and Europe that are considered to be unfavourable to most people, let's be honest. And I was talking to him and he was beginning to talk to me about God. And he was bringing God language in and he said, well, this country needs to get back to, various countries in Europe need to get back to. And he invoked God as the benchmark of what it means to get back to a particular way of living. And it was really interesting because as he was talking more and more, I said, So what do you think God would have you do with these various people groups and these situations? And he said, oh, I think we should do X, Y, and Z. And I said, have you actually read what you say you believe in? And he hadn't. So I took him, and it was risky, I was a bit scared. I took him to the places in the Bible that talked about the thing that he said needed to be changed. And actually what he saw in the Bible was very different to what he was saying needed to be done to those people. And I'd like to tell you, our relationship after that moment was brilliant because I overtly did the right thing. But strangely enough, I was completely cut off from that relationship for some time. A couple of months passed and he gets back in touch with me and says, I've been thinking about that. And now the conversation has started again. Now that's in my work. Not all of us can do those things in our work. And many times I can't, but there are times when it does happen. And I would say, regardless of whether I can control the outcome or not, I'm building for a renewed earth and a renewed heavens, where what is left is of eternal significance. And whether the wheat and the tares grow in ways I would like or not is not my consequence, because God promises that he will sort it all out. And I would say, thank God for God. If we do anything at work, let's do it in his image. Let's actually believe in the long-term vision of God's kingdom on earth as in heaven. Anyway, hope that's given you some stuff to think about, and enjoy whatever the rest of your day has for you. Take care. God bless.
I love the honesty of that living in the middle message, being real about the things which we don't fully understand, but also living to do the things which bring fruits, realizing we don't see everything yet, but God is working these things out. We've got Tim and Joe Martin leading us in communion together on Zoom at 11:30. If you're subscribed to the church mailing list, you should have received an email with a link to join. If you've not, then you can by emailing admin@weltonchurch.org.uk. Rich, could we have the slide up for our Enfest Easter event, please? So Easter's just around the corner. We really don't want you to miss out on our Easter event. It's for 4 to 11-year-olds. It's going to be Wednesday, 31st of March at 6 o'clock on Zoom. There's going to be games, crafts, drama, treasure hunts, and you never know, there might even be a little bit of chocolate. So take a look at our Facebook page where you'll find an invitation to sign up. Thank you so much for joining us this morning for our first live stream. Hopefully, I'll see you on Zoom shortly.